Hey, this is DJ Laura, and you are listening to part two of the February 21st Jimmy Doan Show.
Who is my friend? When all friends are gone, nobody but you, yeah. I do mean you now. Who is my friend now? When all friends are gone, nobody but you. Oh, baby. Who is my friend now? When all friends are gone. Who always defend me, if I'm right or wrong now, nobody but you, oh, baby, nobody but you, I do mean you, yeah, who is the soul now, in my parade, nobody but you, yeah, I do mean you, yeah, who is the soul now, in my parade, nobody but you, with the doctor on my sick bed, nobody but you. Yeah, yeah, nobody but you. I'm doing you, yeah.
Are we back yet?
We're back.
Okay,
we're back.
Okay, good, good, good.
Hey, it's still the 21st of February.
Yeah.
Part two.
Yeah, that's right. Do want to say hello to Hanger Dogs.
Hey, Hanger Dogs.
We got some good stuff from
them. Yeah, definitely.
I love the iFi thing where you can download porn right to your brain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was a good... I tell you, the quality of the videos on YouTube is really... I mean, people have way too much time on their hands. I'll tell you that.
So who was behind that Jack Rhodes there? That was mostly Stitch,
that was
right?
Stitch, yeah.
Thank you, Stitch. Appreciate it.
He's a screech. He's really good.
Keep those emails coming.
Yeah. Well, he sent us that video of his, of the yak.
Yeah.
And,
he's got and not the animal for listeners.
No. That's the Russian.
Plane.
Yeah. This is something for our legal department.
Do we have a yak sound or anything?
Yeah,
I was
right.
Just wondering.
As if we actually,
I thought
know.
We might
actually,
have.
That brings up something.
Stitch's yak sound when they, in the beginning of the Hanger Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
The, speaking of
great sound
of that, it probably wouldn't be, actually we have one. As you say, do we have a yak sound? The animal, bet you it wouldn't be too much to get on, Google Sounds or whatever it is and probably maybe find
Google
one.
Sounds. There's a new one I haven't heard of before.
Well, whatever. I've Google Audio.
There's Google Images. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It is a stunning how often the Jimmy Doan shows up when people are looking for images from Muslim countries and they're looking for the worst porn in the world. For some reason, our site comes up. What is that all
we
about?
We don't even have any porn.
Oh, not certainly not any
people. I researched some of those pictures.
We do have the picture the burqa tourist standing in front of the Eiffel Tower or something like that.
Right.
We need some
smiles.
We need listeners to email us pictures for the website.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, we do.
Whatever you want.
We do get videos.
Yeah.
We did get some videos.
Well, we need to put we'll start putting links up to all of our emails.
We do. We do link to listeners that send in videos and stuff.
I know that.
Yeah.
But here's the next legal thing that I thought was interesting was the judge
guilty.
Well, you know, before you got here, I was talking about the lawyer philosophy is guilty until you run out of money.
Guilty until proven.
I mean, innocent until you run out of money.
Yeah.
Right.
Innocent until you run out of money.
Innocent until broke. Okay. A judge shuts down a website specializing in leaks. I mean, this, in a move that legal experts say could represent a major test of First Amendment rights. In the internet era, a federal judge in San Francisco on Friday ordered the disabling of a website devoted to disclosing confidential information. And this is called WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks. You upload your own leaks.
Yeah, it invites people to post leaked material with the goal of discouraging unethical behavior by corporations and governments.
Nice.
It has posted documents to show that the rules of engagement for American troops in Iraq, a military manual for the operation of a detention center at Guantanamo Bay, and other evidence of what is called corporate waste and wrongdoing.
It's tattletale.com.
Right, exactly. So, the case of San Francisco is brought by a Cayman Islands bank. In court papers, the bank said a disgruntled ex-employee has engaged in a harassment and terror campaign, provided stolen documents to WikiLeaks in violation of confidentiality.
At least he didn't whip out the jammy and blast them all, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He didn't go postal on them or didn't go bankal on them or whatever you call it when they go into a bank. The documents allegedly reveal secret trust structures for hiding asset, money laundering, tax evasion, and so forth.
So what's the question?
The guy said he granted a permanent injunction ordering Dynadot, the site's domain name registrar, to disable WikiLeaks' org domain name.
Guilty.
Now, unfortunately, as you know, on the internet, you can do that all you want, but all the mirror sites and all over the world, you know, have this stuff, and within, you know, 5 minutes after this, there were postings all over the place.
It would probably make it a lot more popular.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is right. I wouldn't doubt. But the point is that this is a Knutism, it seems to me. In other words,
this is just part of them trying to maintain control, you know? I mean,
I thought in this particular article, for instance, the site itself could still be accessed using its internet protocol address, HTTP 8880-13160, whatever. And so, I mean, and we're saying
which we will post on our website.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so the sites are registered in Belgium, Christmas Islands, Germany, and so forth, and not affected by the injunction. I mean, so what good is it? I mean, what good is it?
If they fly through the United States, and
right,
then they pick their ass up on a warrant.
Right. The WikiLeaks injunction is the equivalent to affording the Times printer. This goes back to the Pentagon Papers. I remember when those came out. And it was, you know, prior restraint. This is a prior restraint thing, if you want to call it that. That's the legal thing. Is it prior restraint? Well, this is the narrow... Apparently, the judge modified his order to narrow it somewhat, and somebody has come up and said it's clearly not constitutional. There's no justification of the First Amendment for shutting down an entire website. The narrower order forbidding the dissemination of the disputed documents is a more classic prior restraint on publication. Such orders are disfavored under the First Amendment and almost never survive appellate scrutiny. So the question I ask is, why did he do it?
Why did the judge do it?
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, they're going to get away with it.
Enough.
Yeah, they're going to get away with it until the other guy wins his appeal, if he wins it.
But, I mean, it says it almost never survives appellate. No, the judge's got to know that this, you know.
Well, and that's why he tailored it narrowly. What happened is he probably made a broad ruling.
He did.
And then somebody came and said, dude, you're going to get overturned.
Right.
So
he narrowed it.
Fine. I'll make it better.
I'll make it better just for these documents or something like that. Yeah.
Right. And so depending on how good of a job he did making it better, it may or may not survive appeal. And, of course, these days, just the law is continually getting...
Well, of course, the thing is, it's unenforceable. My point is it's unenforceable.
Such,
right. I mean, this, the whole point is that if you are expecting to get relief from these documents not being leaked, you're pissing in the wind here. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Well, right. But, I mean, what choice does it have? The judge has to rule what the law is. And so some prosecutor comes in front of him and says, look, it's illegal for them to release certain documents or something like that. Or what they're doing is they're...
Well, of course, it's Cayman Island documents. Why aren't the Cayman Islands people after him?
Because they don't care. Because, you know...
Well, the Cayman Islands ones that brought the suit. The bank in the Cayman Islands brought the suit against a disgruntled employee who apparently absconded with a CD full of stuff, you know, and then put it on WikiLeaks to show that there were people that are trying to hide their money laundered or whatever.
So is it a civil suit?
No, I don't know what this is. I mean, it's an injunction. You know, I don't know what you call it. Civil injunction?
Yeah, that's a civil suit.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, according to the judge, he was disseminating information that was sensitive enough so that either he had already disseminated private information in violation of, you know, probably some sort of tort rules and stuff like that, or he was about to, you know, they thought.
Well, it showed up. In other words, what happened was it showed up on the website, which is, you know, the domain name was being hosted by a U.S. company. And so the guy said, you know, you have to take that off your server, that name off your server.
So then they can pat themselves on the back and say, look, we stopped it from happening here in the U.S.
Okay. Well, I guess, I mean, but, you know, like, the judge has got to know. I mean,
one of the things
that I thought it was a telling sentence in here was, the feebleness of the action suggests that the bank and the judge did not understand how the domain system works or how quickly web communities will move to counteractions they see as hostile to free speech online. I mean, that's what I guess that's the point.
Yeah,
is that they?
That's probably accurate.
Yeah. Okay. So much for that. All right. The next thing, big deal, with is continuing with the New Orleans business. CDC tests confirm FEMA units are toxic. Did you see that?
Yeah.
This is the
these are the FEMA trailers.
The FEMA trailers, and there's like
they've been talking about this for a year and a half or something.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
they're saying that the materials, and especially the fact. I think it had some, you know, they sat down there
the
for so long in the swamp and in the sun and all of that. And over time, these things were meant for short-term, you know, habitation, not long-term. And
so anyway,
you know,
it's formaldehyde. And, it's like carcinogenic at these levels.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, well, formaldehyde is like a preservative. I mean, that's what you kill bugs with and stuff. You know what I mean? So you kill things with formaldehyde, right?
Well, that might have been strategery.
It might have been. That might be a way to get them out of the damn 38,000 families that are still in FEMA units.
It's like the Roach Motel. You check in, but you don't check out.
This is another pitfall in the one-size-fits-all solution. You know?
Go ahead, crawl on in.
Yeah, well, here we got 200,000 trailers for you. Oh, yeah, they're poisonous.
But I love this. Apparently, the lawyers, you know, found out about this about 2 years ago, and they filed a suit, and they said, "Look, you're killing us. You know, you're doing all this stuff." More than 2 years after residents of FEMA trailers deployed along Mississippi Gulf Coast began complaining of breathing difficulties, nosebleeds, and persistent headaches.
U.S. health officials
announced Thursday.
Heard about this. We talked about this a year ago.
Long-awaited government tests found potentially hazardous levels of toxic formaldehyde gas in both travel trailers and mobile homes provided by the agency. And I love this, that so they came out with the recommendations. And they said, you know, you got to get them out of here and put them in a hotel. And the head of FEMA says, we're going to work very hard to meet those recommendations. you know, and he also says, I think we've moved very quickly based on what we knew. And I'm thinking 24 months, very quickly. I guess that's very quickly for the government. And then when
lightning fast,
Jimmy. That's, you know, like a glacier.
When the people who are now suffering from respiratory problems sue, are they going to get $3 quadrillion? Was it?
Yeah, right.
$3 quadrillion.
Each.
I did post that thing. What is $3 trillion on a website? That page got smacked a whole bunch of times.
I can't believe it. They were asking what was $3 trillion, and I mean we were on Google search. Jimmy Dunn came up like number three on the list.
Absolutely
unbelievable. See if you want to know.
Yeah. $3 quadrillion.
This is Mr. Math does it again.
Well, did you post
what was $3 quadrillion?
No, what was $3 trillion? That was Bush's budget.
$3 trillion.
But yeah, I mean,
but no, we'll do $3 quadrillion next week.
Yeah.
How many zeros is that?
It's a lot. Asked how much relocation effort might cost, the guy from FEMA says, it really doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. Get them into decent housing. How much does it cost? It doesn't matter.
Right.
That's government. I love it.
Hey, so, they're making it happen, Jimmy.
Yeah.
They're rolling up their sleeves, pulling an all-nighter, and getting stuff done.
That's right.
They're making it all right.
So anyway, they're gonna dismantle all the travel trails to find out what's happening. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but when you preserve wood, I mean, they use formaldehyde to preserve it. And when you heat it up, you put it out in the summer hot.
What about people? It doesn't preserve people.
It does. Oh, yeah.
Keeps them alive longer?
No, keeps them dead longer.
Oh, dead longer.
Dead
longer.
So they'll be better looking when they're dead.
That's right.
See, they're always looking at the negative.
It's part of Hillary's health
plan. They're going to look great in the casket.
It's called Hillary's,
in a year and a half.
Well, it's what they call the post-health plan.
That's right.
That's right. We got a pre-healthcare, healthcare,
and post-healthcare. Post-healthcare.
Yeah.
And this is part of the post-healthcare. You'll be preserved in formaldehyde.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
No charge.
No charge to the deceased. Which reminds me, I was watching some religious story.
Is this a digression? We haven't played the digression music in a long time.
Digression. And they were saying that rich people, you know, you work hard to get rich. You slave all the time. You do the biblical thing about, you know, slaving away the whole time to get rich. And now when you get rich, suddenly you find out that it's harder for the, you know, to pass a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And dawned on me, you know, I ain't got a newsflash for you. When you're dead, everybody is the same. You ain't rich when you're dead. I got a newsflash for you. You are Everybody is totally. I don't care if you were
rich. Are you sure
rich.
They don't give you like credits, like when you get?
I don't think so. I'm telling you. I'm guessing that when they say you can't take it, they try. People try to take it with them, but even if you like are buried with all your gold teeth, they pretty much stay in the ground.
What if the comet comes close though, and you can really make it up there from the.
Well, then you're not dead, I suppose.
Did you see recently that there was this strongly religious gentleman that was declared dead for 90 minutes? And how
was it Creflo Dollar?
Creflo Dollar. Creflo, what is his name?
Yeah. It's Creflo Dollar.
That's right. I love the name.
Creflo Dollar.
No, what was this all about?
Someone, you know, who he was in a, you know, horrendous car accident, you know, so dead on arrival, you know,
man,
in the bag, 90 minutes.
Man, me too.
And then he came, you know, he had the classic experience at the gate.
Saw the light.
But and then he
went
saw all these people, and then he saw the light in the distance, and then he woke right out, and then all this and that. But, you know,
that was before the accident, sir.
That's right.
That was at that club you were at.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
it always amazes me when they talk about rich people going to heaven or poor. I mean, and you know, I'm sorry, you're not.
Right.
You're a dead person, okay? And you like, you ain't taking it with you. I don't care. You could be the Egyptian.
Come on, Jimmy. Look, what happens is you get over the other side and they take a little accounting of whatever you had.
Talk to John Edwards.
And then they give you chips.
Well, and the
worth whatever you had.
And if you have too many chips, you can't go through the eye of a needle.
Well, and you guys, the really bad part of this is that when Jimmy does eventually die, he's not going to take any of this shit with him.
No.
All of this shit is left over.
Well, let me tell you something.
It's like his Egyptian tomb. We're going to bury him with all
that's
this
right,
shit.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're just going to actually, what
nail
you do
it
is,
shut.
That's it.
We're going to go to Nipples Millhopper, throw him in the bottom, and fill it to the rim with all this stuff.
What you do, or ultimately, I would say this.
That doesn't sell on eBay today.
Now let me tell you.
Put pallets around this house.
No, that's right. What you do is, if you don't mind, I'd like to
talk about his own death.
I am thinking that this is a prime location for an Indian burial mound. What you do is you just get a bulldozer stick a feather in my head, and you just roll up the dirt, and this place just becomes a big mound.
And it's a pyramid.
That's it. And you know, you got it when the aliens show up. Oh, which reminds me of something else. When the aliens show up, it'll be like, what was life like? And they'll say, it was like this? No wonder they died out.
Hey guys, we'll tell them it's going to be a pyramid, then we'll make it a pentagram.
But the other thing, hey, really good. But the other thing, I thought the guy from Zits, I forget what the kid's name is. He's one of the funniest cartoons that I see all the time. He was laying on the back porch looking up at the sky, and he says, "You know, if there is no other life in this universe, it seems like an awful waste of space."
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's my. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it is
all this for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that is sweet. Yeah, sweet. We got a big room here. I mean, that is what somebody just found out. They did some mathematics. They found out that the Milky Way is not 6,000 light years thick, but 12,000 light years.
Oh, man, we need faster
vehicles. And
it's
100,000 light years across. That's just the Milky Way, guys. Just a local group here. That's right. Our immediate neighborhood.
It's 30,000 light years at Galactic Central Park.
I want to go 3 Pardon? Quadrillion miles per hour. Over that way. You know, for just a few seconds and then stop and let me see where I am.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then
here's Jack's trip to the galaxy.
It would be kind of fun.
Just 3 quadrillion, please. Hold on.
Well, you got to figure out though that if you go to the speed of light, you're going to be like the size of a neutrino. I mean,
they've already solved those problems.
Speck.
They have.
That was all that was left. A little green.
They've
speck.
Been here, man.
You just
they've been here, right?
They've been here.
Jump.
Yeah, they just had some big crash. And some big craft in Texas here was like a couple weeks ago or whatever.
What?
And yeah, some big like mile long wide craft. And I emailed, you know, all the guys over at NORAD. I was like, dude, you know, did you guys chase away those illegal aliens? They said they couldn't comment on it. But it was seen by, you know, 50 people out there.
Oh, yeah. But I don't understand what they're doing here.
You're talking about just a 3 weeks ago.
I told you before. They're like,
we talked about
they're
this.
Just drunk teenagers out on a cruise, you know.
No, they're buzzing us.
Yeah, it's like buzzing a sheet.
Yes,
it's a buzz tree. They had video and everything. You're talking about the UFO that was spotted
in Texas?
Yeah, four weeks ago.
I didn't see any video of it.
Oh, I think there was a picture of it.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was in, you know.
Did it look anything like a pie pan?
With some frosting still on the side.
Yeah, still, you're right. That was the engine.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think
that. Drive.
It is. As somebody once said, it is awfully amazing that they always show up at some backwoods road with a farmer who's got his coveralls on and he's in a 25-year-old truck, and they're
and
the ones that always...
An empty can of moonshine.
Yeah, an empty can of it. He's the one that always got abducted or saw it or whatever, you know.
Well, of course, there's been all kinds of, like the 53 flap was right over D.C. And, like, radar returns and all that stuff. He kept sending up fighters after him, and they'd go zipping over here. And more visitors, huh?
It's a party.
So, what else is on the list?
Okay, the next thing, the last thing I've actually got on my list here is what they're going to try and probably do here in this country, although they haven't got to it yet, and that is Britain is going to nationalize a troubled mortgage lender. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Margaret Thatcher, one of her claim to fame, when Ronald Reagan was president and Reagan were president at the same time, and they basically denationalized everything in Great Britain. They sold off the coal, the electricity, the trains, the airplanes, everything. This is like starting about 1979.
Okay.
And Britain went wild. I mean, they money going away, everything was, you know, new freedom. Of course, the coal miners and a lot of those people that had been on the government payroll were a little upset for a while. They survived it all.
Right.
And Ms. Jimmy and I, in fact, went over to England, and we traveled around on the private railroads and everything and had a grand old time. It's interesting that now they're going to go back, and here's a mortgage lender. This is the kind of thing that happened in the United States. They want to do sort of the same thing, only without actually nationalizing, and that is these people that took out these crappy loans.
Right.
They want to bail them out.
They need help.
In England, what they're going to do is nationalized. They're going to make it a government organization. The Northern Rock Bank, I guess it is.
Well, that's
come on. So what are we going to pay for?
Hugo has been doing that kind of stuff.
I know Hugo has, but he speaks Spanish. This is an English-speaking guy.
Hugo.
But it was interesting because Richard Branson's Virgin Group submitted an application to take it over privately.
Right,
and they said let the taxpayer do it, which is just stunning to me when you think it's only been literally it's been less than 30 years.
Did we get to vote on that?
No, doesn't matter.
Did we get to vote on that?
Not sure.
Yeah, in Britain.
Well, they have taken polls in England in the UK, of course, about who should be president.
Yeah, right.
And I think Obama is in the lead in England.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
So I know our listeners are all
Obama.
Hoping Ron Paul gets it.
You seen this RepublicansForObama.com? You seen that yet?
No.
They're pushing they're trying to push everybody, especially to vote in Texas. They want all the Republicans to go out and vote for Obama.
And why is this?
Just to help Obama.
But why?
Because he's Obama.
I see. Well, documented faintings of
they
women.
They love Obama.
Everybody's documented faintings.
Right. Well, like 11 of them.
You saw that whole song that girl did on YouTube about Obama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
all over the place.
Well, it'll be fascinating. Just to say, we've got some time before the nomination, and then we've got some real good time, real fun between then and the election.
Right.
And it'll be
man, I gotta mention this too.
Excitement.
I really wanted to bring the clip of Eddie Murphy.
Which one?
All right, it's Eddie Murphy. I think it was on Delirious. Did a clip. Ironic foreshadowing about what it was going to be like when we had the first black president.
I don't think I've heard that one.
I don't think it was PG.
We link to it. We don't actually put it on the spot.
We would put a link to it.
I see.
And if you're over 18, you. But
right.
it is quite hilarious.
Answer truthfully.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the gist of it was he was going to have to be very creative with when he did his speeches to avoid incoming.
Well, as somebody said, I would guess if Hillary loses the nomination for president, it would behoove her, it seems to me, to go ahead and
switch to Republican.
No, no, no. Be vice, no, she'd be vice president because she knows she'd be president pretty quick. Wouldn't be long.
See, Jimmy said it, not me.
Wouldn't be 4 years, I can tell you that. Yeah.
This is not the Jack Rhodes Show.
Yes, Jack Rhodes Show. That's Jimmy's prediction is that Hillary will be president. Okay,
you think he would
She might not actually be elected, but he's going to be president
ask her.
Sometime
no, no,
in the next
on,
4 years.
No, no, no. She's going to be nowhere near his White House. Man, they're going to be a throwdown, man.
All right, I'm done.
What well, about
light notes?
Yeah,
let's do the other notes. 72 things we have on the list.
No, that was all of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah always.
What you mean? There was more? Wait a minute, hold it.
Well, we haven't even talked about Fidel.
Resigned. No, that's right. Fidel
has resigned.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that the first thing...
there was a nice picture of him in his dinghy. Did you?
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
I saw that.
He's going to retire
in Miami. Yeah,
right.
Miami.
Come here, get some good health care. No, the nice thing I did see there was that Negroponte or some one of those guys, whoever is the Department of State guy, came out and they asked right away. Of course, first thing was, are you going to lift the embargo, which has, you know, been in effect for like 40 years, over 40 years,
right?
Which has done a lot. It's like killed probably, you know, 2 or 3 million Cubans, right. And you know, and prohibited and auto farmers from exporting stuff down there.
Is that what we wanted it to do?
No. Oh, the idea was that it was that we were going to put this embargo in, and about a week later, Fidel would be overthrown by the people.
Right.
So it's only taken, you know, half century, and he's going to die in office, for God's sake.
Right.
He's the longest living head of state ever, other than a monarch.
If he is still living.
Well, that's...
No one's really seen him for a while.
Well, but even if he died a couple years ago, he still hit the record book.
Raul.
Well, and that, so anyway, they said Raul's going to maintain the communist whatever it is thing down there, and our first response was we're not going to lift the embargo. And I thought, boy, what a bunch of maroons they these people. We'll show them. Right, we'll keep the embargo on so that our farmers don't get to sell anything to Cuba, and we don't get to buy anything from the Cuban people, and we're going to show that Raul. The son of a bitch.
I got to say,
he gets everything he wants.
Right.
But it's pretty cool for the Europeans because they have an island destination that they can go to.
Oh, the Canadians
there's
do.
No freaking Americans.
Well, then the Canadians. Well, no, there, no, no, there the are Americans. Americans. There are Americans there.
Well, very few.
Canadians.
That's
they're
American.
They're North Americans. They're from North America.
Okay.
Central Americans go there all the time.
Yeah, but they're not George and Martha in the Hawaiian shirt.
Well, that's true.
So
anyway, Fidel. And dead man walking. And then and so then Raul, and he's, you know, elderly person, maybe make it another 5 or 10 years or something like that, and then what? I mean, the whole thing's gotta collapse down there. Think about it. For openers, I think car down there is like a 57 Chevy.
Right, we talked about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to go.
Well, I would really like to go.
You know,
Number one, I would like it. I would really like
to go. It's only, 90 miles away? Come on.
Swim it.
I know.
You know, it's,
if they're take smart, the yacht, Jimmy. Remember, we're taking the yacht.
You can take a Blerio and get there.
If Raul is smart, what he'll do is he'll throw open the beaches for tourism. And he'll set up several casinos right there on the shore.
Oh, yeah. And let me put it this way. A couple of brothels wouldn't hurt either.
Oh, I knew Jimmy was going. I was just getting ready to and hookers.
No, I mean, that would be it. Boom. Like you say, you'd have a strip, about
Cuban cigars.
That's right. About 100
Puerto
yards
Rican
wide
rum.
And, you know, 15 miles long. And that would be it. And they would have all everything.
Romulan ale.
Do you want the cigar?
Romulan ale.
Yeah. I was like reading this thing. It says, I guess apparently when Castro went to power to begin with, he was pardoned. And then he went to Mexico for a while and he came back with a rebel army. And he goes, he declared when he got to when he entered Havana triumphantly, he goes, power does not interest me and I will not take it.
Yeah.
40 years later.
Yeah. No, it's an aphrodisiac. I mean, you can see it across the board. And one of the things you have to ask yourself, this has not changed in human activity, human action for, 10,000 or at least 5,000 years that we know about. And because power is an aphrodisiac.
Right.
I mean, you get there and you just, you have convinced yourself, insulated your true self so much to think you're actually doing a good thing. I mean, whereas in reality, you wouldn't have to walk out of the presidential palace to realize I have really fucked this thing up royally.
We've been dropping the F-bomb left and right. Well, so that's like a fourth or fifth one. I don't know where that's coming from. Something in the air.
Yeah.
Must be that lunar eclipse.
No, but that actually is the reason. I mean, that's not a spurious one. That had to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question
not
about it.
The ones you throw, of course, are just little hand grenade-y things.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
This
boom.
Hand grenades.
Boom.
what's going to happen? And what's going to happen, the deal is, of course, they're all doing this. He's supposed to take over, I think, in a month or two or something like that? It's not right away, but he's been he's going to be official. Of course, Castro's still in the Senate or whatever. He's like head of the parliament or whatever the hell it is. He's still there. His wife died in office, you know, a couple years ago, I guess, too. And so he's still going to wield some power, some influence. The deal is, though, that when he croaks, then Raul takes over, and the wish is, and that's all it is that he will suddenly, you know, wise up and say, you know, I really need to loosen the strings, loosen things up here and let my people go. I don't think you can do it that way myself. Because one of the things that when you have this repression that's like this, especially when you can receive TV, well, of course, they'll be able to receive TV signals after February.
Except
the Jimmy Don show.
That's right. We're going.
Unless they got, you know, digital.
We're going rabbit ears.
That's right. So the deal is that once you start to loosen up, I mean, that's when the riots begin. I mean, those people always, I say those people, but people that start to see freedom realize that they can have it all.
And
that's what happened when the wall came down, for instance. They thought they were going to let a little steam off, and the next thing you know, they were out
yep.
as we say.
So, hey, get ready on the Hugo music, because my question is Raul going to get in bed with Hugo?
Hugo.
It's going to happen.
Well,
they're going to get together. And just an update, guys, this Hugo Chavez, he's a dictator, man. Okay. He's going to kill people, and they're going to try to kill us.
Well, which speaking of that, a small digression, I will say, you saw they had elections in Pakistan, and Musharraf was out.
Right.
Okay, he said
no, thank you.
Yeah, he said no, thank you. I think I'll stick around. I think I'll still stay.
But I'm going to stick here till like 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it was an overwhelming. This reminds me a little bit of the Chavez. What's happening with Chavez?
It's happening.
And all
it's happening.
I mean, you know, these guys, they get voted out, and they say no. Nah.
I
don't think so. No,
my gun is bigger than your gun.
Do-over.
Yeah, do-over. Right, we're having a do-over.
Two out of three.
No, but I mean, I thought this is so typical, though, of dictators. I mean, they can't, no matter how bad it is.
It's Raul, it's Hugo, and it's
Musharraf,
yeah. and it's Ahmadinejad.
Yep.
And Khomeini.
What are you talking about, the axis of evil?
Well, dictators. I mean, these are people that they can walk out their front door and see that
right?
their people are suffering, and yet they point the out, and the great Satan is the one.
No, these are it. We're ahead of the curve.
The simple fact is that Raul, when he gave his little speech, his retirement speech or whatever, said, you know, what we've done is we've managed to contain for half a century, we've managed to keep the great, no, I didn't call us the great Satan, I forget what he calls it, the great Satoni. I don't know. And anyway, at bay, that was his claim to fame, was that the United States had not invaded after Bay of Pigs, has not invaded since. There's kind of a microcosm in a way when you think about the clampdown that's been in effect in Cuba for 50 years. There's been no freedom. I mean, if you want to leave, they shoot you. That kind of stuff.
You're free to leave.
Yeah, you're free to leave, and
boom.
If you want to be fish food,
go all the way.
Wait a second. Now you're free to leave. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Right. Serpentine.
I was waiting for the sound effect there. Sorry.
What they're doing in this country, of course, is they are pointing outside, saying, "Oh, we're going to keep the terrorists at bay, and here's how we're going to do it." We're going to spy on everybody. We're going to make
suspend habeas corpus.
I mean, the whole deal. And And the, our claim to fame will be that we had didn't have another terrorist attack yet.
Mm. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that you can look at Cuba for the last 50 years, and you can look at this country for the next 50, and I'll tell you, I don't think it's all that big a difference.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, we do have quite more Latinos coming into this country than they probably did at Cuba. Of course, he's an island. Wasn't like you could exactly walk across the border. But there were people boating out of there in a hurry and not boating in.
Paddling out. So
there are some differences. I don't know.
All right, so man, he's arrested, apparently a drug arrest here. They seize $2,000 from him. He gets pissed off a week later. He drives a stolen car down to the police station to demand his $2,000 back. They arrested him for the stolen car.
I guess. That's called the Stupid Criminal Act?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
I was thinking the Einstein Award or whatever.
Yeah. Darwin Award.
Well, that's Einstein. Different. All right, Einstein, yep, so. All right.
So, what's the deal with the locally here? We're talking about the cameras that they want to put up.
I wrote a letter. We're going to look in tomorrow's paper to see if it gets published. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. They have. I don't know if I mentioned this. Did I talk about this before? They put up cameras about.
We've talked about the cameras.
But this is like getting newer.
Right.
This is an expansion of authority.
Well, what happened was
now Jimmy's getting ready to get arrested about it. So let's not talk about it.
What I did say was this. There was an editorial in our local paper here that said, oh, we need the cameras. We need the cameras. Oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. It's not about the money. It's about safety.
Okay,
and
so
three people died running red lights last year. Oh, my God. It's the end of the world. Sky is falling. And we want to have cameras on these dangerous intersections. And the city commission, I think it's the city commission, is going
to
do it.
All right, so, hey, we got to explain in case you didn't listen to the shows before. They wanted cameras to take pictures of your license tag as you're running a red light.
But that wasn't the original reason for the cameras.
No, the original reason was for traffic management.
Traffic management.
So that to make sure when the lights would change and everything, so there wouldn't be too many long lines. And that's what they said.
Installed.
And people asked them point blank. They said, are you going to use these for running red lights, traffic?
And they said no.
No, there we actually what they
Are
said
you
was
use our social security
until
number.
Until you change your mind,
right? So that was the first. So anyway, now they've come out, and I thought it was reading the original article. The police chief says, "Well, you know, now we have the technology to actually take a picture, and then we have some policeman look at it, and then he matches it up and sees if it's a violent." I'm thinking, where have you been, Mr. Police Chief? I mean, you certainly have got to have gone to the police chief's Las Vegas roundtable where they show you the cameras
in Vegas.
Yeah. What do you say, yeah, Jimmy? Right. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, what I'm saying is this police chief is sandbagging us here. He knows damn well they got the cameras that not only snap the front and the back, they do the face recog. They don't need any policemen. They send you the ticket, and no human hands
Who's
are involved.
Who's the police
in
chief from The Simpsons? I'm sure we got a clip of that one. Yeah. Right?
Anyway, the point is that the Gainesville Sun, our Pravda newspaper here, mouthpiece for the
mullet wrapper.
Yeah, well, they're the mouthpiece for the local for government here, and they whatever the government does is they just bow and pray to it. And so they said, yeah, we're going to save lives, and it's not about the money. And of course, one of the things that you always know is when somebody says it's not about the money,
it's always about the money.
And what I find, I mean, it was so interesting because you only have to ask yourself why. Are there five large corporations bidding for the contract to put these cameras up? I mean, they're dog-eat-dog out there trying to get the contract. Why? Because there's big money in it. They get a cut of the action.
Right.
Is the way they get funded. And they know damn well that the fines are going to go through the ceiling. And what I wrote to the Gainesville Sun, because I went out to eat out the road here at Red Lobster the other day, which is let me just think, 70 minus 20, it is less than 5 miles. It's 4 miles, mm-hmm. 4.5 miles from my house to the Red Lobster. It took 51 minutes.
Jeez.
And the reason was during rush hour.
Right.
But the reason is that the traffic is so bad out there because it gets backed up when the university lets out. It gets backed up through the lights, and you actually have to wait and watch a green light, a whole cycle go through while nobody goes through, except some people will run it,
right?
Because in order to make it, I mean, the only way you can do it. And I wrote to the Sun, and I would be interested to see if they publish it. if you haven't seen a traffic jam until people don't run those red lights.
Right.
I mean, today, the 51 minutes that it took me seemed like the Daytona 500. I mean, when you wait, because you have to make the left-hand turn, you'll find three or four or five people that will run that red light to make the left-hand turn because that's the only time you can do it.
Right.
And otherwise, and then you find people jamming up the intersections and so forth. You wait.
Oh, they'll fix that, though. They'll get the timing right and get the flow right and put some newer cameras up there for more traffic management.
Who is this person? who is taking over?
I can't wait to see Jimmy's going to get published. Jimmy's going to get published.
Well, I also wrote my letter about the library, too, which
yeah.
We can all work together to build a utopian society free of violence, hate, and prejudice.
Yeah.
We arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
Let's call it a show.
All right.
Yeah. All righty, guys.
That's good.
Jimmy
Doe.
Yeah. Man, there was a... Well, there's one other thing. Did you see the... they banned farting in middle schools?
No farting.
Yeah.
What?
It was a middle school bans intentional farting.
Where was this?
It's intentional. What are they having? Farting contests?
Where was this?
Yeah, middle school issues ban on intentional flatness. It's a can to Maine.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that'd be so much fun. I mean, you know, the guy who'd be the hero would be the SPD guy.
Silent but deadly.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it. Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about the fish that went on the rocket ride in Sweden?
No.
72 small fish were briefly launched into space by researchers. Hoping they're swimming back.
It was teach them to fly or what?
German researchers sent they sent a bunch of cichlids on a 10-minute rocket ride that blasted took them into space.
Is this some new way?
You know what they said? They said they were very happy. I think they want to have another flight.
Oh, God. Let me tell you,
the fish are speaking to the researchers now.
They're channeling. Oh, it's really amazing. I want to say, hey, podej mina vänner I Sverige. We had a bunch of people from Sweden. Mm-hmm. I meant to go through the list of all those. We had Peru, Canada, Mexico. We had a bunch of new countries this time.
We were busy talking about fish being launched.
Let me tell you something. I spent a year in Sweden, so I can tell you, or 8 months in Sweden. I can tell you one thing. There is nothing that they can't do with fish. They got, I tell you, it is morning, noon, and night.
Fish dessert. Huh?
Oh, there is no part of the fish goes unused. Like I am telling you, no part of no fish. It is unbelievable. God. Fish and potatoes, I mean breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, we had a trevlig tid and a med fiska. That was great, yeah. No, I'd like to go back, and I actually liked it. I went traveling over there with somebody one time, and she said, I don't care if I never see another fish.
Show. We'll see you next time.
Yep, see
you.
All right, guys. Woo!